Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry on the other end of the line this morning. So, morning, Mike. How are you, pal?
Oh, man, I'm great. I've been sitting out on my deck that faces the east watching the sun come up, and what a beautiful morning.
Now, beautiful morning. But unfortunately, the subject this morning is a little darker, and that is the fact that we've seen some gun violence and a homicide earlier this week. Person who was killed identified yesterday as Carbondale Jamonte Allison, 44. So what can you tell us about the gun violence recently in Carbondale? Are these all these items connected?
Well, there's a total of six adults involved in this particular incident, all on August 17th, and started about 3:30 in the afternoon, and there were gunshots in the north section of Carbondale on Almond Street up there. It's a densely populated street. There's a lot of student housing up there, but a lot of permanent residents also. And so there were shots fired there. Suspects fled the area. We got description of the vehicle and so on and so forth. Then I guess that happened at like 3:30 in the afternoon, and about 3 hours later, in our northeast section of Carbondale, we had gunshots fired, and a person ended up getting killed, was killed, and was pronounced dead at Memorial Hospital. And what we know is this is two groups that have been at odds for quite a while here, and it's just one retaliation running back and forth. We have pretty much everyone identified. It's a question of tracing them down now. Our detective unit is, our detectives are working on it. And one person is has been incarcerated and, of course, is out now. And so they're troublemakers.
All right.
They're just troublemakers.
Mike Henry, Carbondale Mayor, joins us this morning. So there was one person in the shooting that's already been apprehended and incarcerated?
No, he was incarcerated before.
Oh, I understand.
He's a felon.
He's a convicted felon. He was released, and now he's back to the old antics then.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. There's a couple of components that I think people find particularly disturbing. It was interesting as we were doing the news yesterday. People were on my text line talking about the Democratic National Convention, and once Robert did his first newscast, the tone changed completely. Carbondale, Carbondale, Carbondale. In particular, two elements. One, that these gunshots, this violence was in broad daylight, which has one connotation, and the other is that, you know, when you pull a car in front of someone and block them as you shoot two women in a car, that was another highlight when it came to people's attentions.
Right. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. You can't imagine what's going on here. We also know that there were some children involved at the first scene. They were there, not injured, but they were in the line of fire, and so it's just unimaginable, you know, that this stuff goes on. And like you say, broad daylight. We've got descriptions of the cars. We're making a lot of headway, and we're going to get them and put them away. Probably have them apprehended in the next couple of days, we're hoping. But, you know, again, it's just, I don't know. It's beyond my understanding.
Mike, is the working thought here that this is a confrontation over drugs, money, or a personal beef, so to speak?
It seems to be a personal beef that has run on for months, is what it seems to be. Now we don't have evidence of any drug deal taking place or any connection there. Although we know that's usually a big driving force in a lot of these shootings that we have.
Mike, I spoke with a resident in the area, and it was interesting because he was emphatic about the dark charger that has been seen on again, off again in this neighborhood. He said he was familiar with the vehicle. It was also in published reports, and there was a dark charger involved and a dark-colored SUV. Now, yesterday at 5:10 p.m., police in Marion were called when two black males stopped their vehicle in front of a residence and began shooting from a dark-colored SUV. And I've talked to police in Williamson, Saline, and Jackson County, and they very often tell me that the people accused of these crimes are interchangeable in any one of these three communities.
Yeah, we know that goes on a lot. We run do a lot of running back and forth along Route 13.
Do you think that there's a connection between what happened in Marion and what happened in Carbondale? I mean, it's the same MO, but then again, the MO is so broad, and that is driving up in front of a house and shooting at it.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, that's not as uncommon as people might think. We probably have this happen a couple of times a week on average in a couple of neighborhoods we have that are just rough neighborhoods. And guns are so available to felons. I mean, it just amazes me they can get their hands on these things. Mm. And of course, automatic weapons also.
Yeah, well, I always look to see if those people with those weapons are charged with FOID, not having FOID cards, and I very rarely see it. On occasion, I do. Mike, is there anything on, before we close on this subject and move on to something else rather small before I let you go this morning, Mike, is there anything you want the residents of Carbondale to know about what you, the city council, the police, and the rest of the city employees are doing to be able to fight gun violence in Carbondale?
Well, we have lots of active patrols constantly. We have units dedicated to gang violence. We have a formal detective unit in Carbondale, and all they do is dig in and investigate this stuff, dig out the evidence, interview people, and we arrest a lot of people and we put them away. But it's just prevalent, and it's a mentality for these criminals to reach for a weapon, and they have no consideration of innocent bystanders.
Yeah, and we've gotten clear illustrations of that in cities. It's interesting when you look at the statistics, 37% increased gun violence led by Chicago, I think followed by Philadelphia in that particular area. So it's something we've seen other locations, but we're unaccustomed to in Carbondale. But the frequency, of course, has people disturbed. All right, before I let you go, Mike, another question. I was in your community on Saturday, and I ran into a law enforcement agent, and I know him, but he had a mask on, and he was practicing social distancing, so I couldn't get close to see his name tag on his shirt. But we clearly knew each other. I said, so what's up? He says, you know, we got some positive cases of COVID on SIU campus. And that was all I was able to get. We talked about, of course, the gun violence in Carbondale while we were speaking as well. What can you tell me about what's going on with COVID in Carbondale?
Well, we've been doing pretty well over the summer with it not growing too quickly, and of course the governor's been down here, and we were to level 4 going along and improving. But we knew when our students came back, I'm talking about SIU students, and I call them our students because we sort of adopt them into our community when they come back, 8,000 plus, and they're our economic driver. But we just knew that this virus was going to come back with them, and by we, it's you know, the chancellor and his staff. You know, we've had multiple meetings about it, and with our chief Grubbs and the campus police chief Newman on how to address house parties that are off campus. They've got the dorms really well. I'd use the word control, but that's what it is. It's under control, one person per room. They've spaced out all the lounge furniture. They have rules. They have resident assistants that basically are out on the floors all the time and encouraging people to wear masks and socially distance. Like any time you're out of your room, you're supposed to be wearing a mask in the common areas. So. But we've seen how well that works in public. So
right, it's a yeah,
yeah. So, but yeah, they've had, and we knew there'd be some outbreaks out there. SIU was aware of it, and so they quarantine. And we've got a couple of quarantines going on, maybe more than a couple, out on campus. You've seen us shutting down sports venues for the entire seasons, and. Our classes we're going to be a mix of classes out there, and now they're going 100% remote almost. It seems like all the ones that can be remote are going remote because our, you know, faculty is worried about getting it also. Right. And it's really hard to do to maintain 6 feet from people.
And
as we all know.
Right. So. And then, of course, the push to get downfield, right? I noted some people on social media commenting, including some local elected officials, about how nice it was to see the students on the strip in Carbondale again and see some of that new lifeblood in Carbondale. And we all know what that represents for the community as well as a whole.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, but, you know, even that said, the town's been quiet, what we call the strip, our Illinois Avenue that runs from the center of town, from Route 13 down to the campus, has been quiet. I mean, just not a whole lot of folks around.
Right.
But they've been moving in all over town, in and off campus. And it was interesting. We always have our Chamber of Commerce and city employees and stuff go out and volunteer to carry student stuff up to their rooms and that kind of stuff, and we can unload a minivan in about 2 minutes,
right,
and have it all on its way to the rooms. And this year there were no volunteers allowed, and a student could only have two members of their family in the dorm with them, and they just had rules. They did all these rules all over campus. But even with all that, you know, the outbreak is here, and we're seeing across the country. You know, other college campuses and our Big Ten schools, even, you know, they just can't control this darn virus.